This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Just yesterday, hitting the news, an article came out where the National Centre for Vocational Education and Research, those people, they had done a study. And they did a study of more than 2,000 kids, and they found why many plan to be lawyers, psychologists, designers and vets, you know, these great jobs, you know, at about the age of 15. By about 25, most had ended up as sales assistants, primary school teachers and retail managers. Now, can we just say for the, you know, like that's not, aren't bad positions, but, you know, what they had aspired to, it didn't happen. And they said about 60% of students would aspire to positions that only 20% attain. Now, after this research came out, some psychologists had some thoughts about this, and they were saying, well, it's actually mollycoddling culture from parents that might be causing these unrealistic expectations. Well, we've got our own psychologist, Maris Deepers, to discuss such matters. Good morning to you, Maris.
Good morning.
So, Maris, when you hear this and you know, that kind of, I guess, that gap between economic reality and the dreams of school children, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a really, really interesting area, and I think actually anything to do with the whole idea of mollycoddling kids and I mean, you know, setting them up with unrealistic expectations is a really, really fine and difficult line, because obviously we don't want to stifle all aspiration. We want our kids to believe that they can achieve and be the best, you know, little people that they can and big people that they can be. But at the same time, you know, trying to build in some ways to guard around that is a really, really difficult line to walk.
Suggestions?
Yeah, got any suggestions for that line?
Yeah, the other thing is that also, I think on a societal level as well, we have some big things around success, particularly career success, and there are certain occupations that do seem to be prized and cherished, and others that are less so. And so I think that's something that as a society we can kind of have a look at this as well, that this happens in this context. But in relation to individual families working with individual kids and finding ways to actually motivate and inspire, but also, you know, be a little bit guarded and build some resilience around, you know, the reality that unfortunately for all of us, sometimes the life that we choose and the life that we would like to have for ourselves isn't always the way that it is, based on a variety of factors, both personal as well as societal. But one of the things that we can all do, and I think we can all do this in our lives, young, adult, and in between, is spread our esteem across a variety of kind of areas. And so, you know, work and career and the things that we do become really important areas of self-identification and esteem, but they're not all. We also have community esteem, we have social esteem, we've got all sorts of other activities that exist beyond 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, depending on your work hours, and are really, really important ways of being able to actually define who we are and how we see ourselves. The other messages can be, I guess, around the idea that this is also in the context of Generation Y workers. So the young people that survey actually questioned, those 2,000 young people, are likely to have 3 to 3.5 careers in their lifetime. And so their initial targets, particularly as a 15-year-old before they're a fully formed adult, may not necessarily be the place that they end up. And that's actually okay. I couldn't help but have a little bit of a smile on my face and hear the words of Evermore, you know, don't be afraid of something new and don't be afraid of what you're turning into. And so that's a really important message that we can aim for a certain role, but life may actually intervene and we can actually end up in completely new and different places. And you know what, that might be great for us too. And that, you know, what the targets that we initially have early on aren't always where we end up, and that's okay as well, and that we're okay as individuals. And that we can still eke out a beautiful life despite the fact that we may not have been able to actually attain the initial place that we were aiming for.
So, to put it, I'm just wondering, what if a kid was saying, you know, dead set, I want to go to the moon. That's my lifelong ambition. I keep coming back to the example. I mean, the chances are pretty slim of that. So within the context of all that, at that point in time, at that moment, with that child, at that point in their life, even if they're a bit older than that, maybe they're a teenager and actually looking into, you know, physics and aeronautical science and all the rest of it. I mean, what do you do? To put a practical example,
like,
on
as
this,
a parent, what do you
say
to that child?
Yeah, what would you say to that child?
That would be a perfect time to get out some of the old SMART goal setting kind of framework and actually use that in conjunction with a little bit maybe of what's called a career target. And so we might be aiming for something specifically in the middle, and literally that might be the moon for this young person. But in the concentric rings around that, there are other professions that are closely related to that aeronautically. Work in physics and all sorts of other areas, and some of them they may actually be able to do as teenagers. And so you can actually widen the lens a little bit for all of us, and see that we can actually have meaningful and associated roles that may, you know, be a lot more realistic and attainable than our moon based target there. So the SMART goal setting is setting goals that are specific. That's very moon-based, but that are actually measurable, and more importantly, the A stands for achievable. And so there might be a discussion around the actual achievability of that goal, and what probability of actually, you know, achieving success would be for that person. And so if we actually shift the focus a little bit, we may actually be able to get a much more achievable goal, work in the aeronautical industry or, you know, work for NASA or whoever, and then, you know, be a lot more likely to kind of attain success. What I would say is, I wonder if Richard Branson actually had the dream of going to the moon at some point, and he's getting close.
That is
not impossible.
That's true. Mara's deep is, I think every school's going to be calling you up very soon, offering you a position of careers counselor, because that was such good advice.
So, that was so
rings
sound,
around the moon, as I like to call it. But no, that's exactly right. Because look, maybe that person wanted to go to the moon, they could end up working at, you know, like the Powerhouse Museum in the space section, and, you know, teaching other kids about, you know, if you're passionate about that. I mean, you know, it's not the moon, but it might be just that one step or working, yeah, around. I love that.
Well, just as
satisfying. And most definitely, that work can also be a means to an end rather than just an end in itself. So that person may end up being a primary school teacher, they may end up being a psychologist, and that may just fuel their and provide resources for their love of astronomy, which they then do all the time as well.
This is so true.
Maris, as per usual, thank you so much.
Have a lovely week.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.